That's a revelation. Because the rest of them didn't come. I'm glad you came. Next week, Elaine will be here. And she's bragged on you so much and bragged on the praise and worship and all that. She's bringing us a piano. She's bringing her son and his wife, I think. That's who it is. She's bringing them up here because she wants them to see our great church. You know how Elaine brags on us. Bless her heart. And our great praise and worship and all that. So y'all better do good. You're on the spot. So please come to church. Hallelujah. Not for Elaine's sake, but for not for my sake, but for God's sake. You know, really for your sake. But the Lord wants you to come. One place he said, now, I'm fixing this great dinner. He said, now you go tell all my people to come. All my family to show up. Well, they went out and none of them showed up. So God, Jesus is just like the pastors are. He looks for the people. And Jesus said, where is everybody? And they said, well, they didn't show up. He said, forget them. Go out and get anybody you can find. Go out into the hedges and highways and everything. Get everybody anything and tell them to come to the supper. I said it for my people, but they didn't come. Now they'll miss it. Now, well, I had for somebody else, for them, what I had for them, someone else will enjoy it. I don't want somebody eating my piece of cake. Are you out there? So then after that, we got 3 weeks. Next 3 Sundays, I've got booked here to people preaching. I don't know how I did that, but I did it, you know. Anyway, we'll swing it, won't we? Then Sherlock will be here Friday and Sunday, and we're excited about him. Then on the 16th, Pastor Chris McMichaels and his family will be here. You'll really enjoy Chris. He's going to teach us on all this stuff's going on, about what woke really is and this Black Lives Matter and the heart of it. He's really done some real research and things on that. He'll have PowerPoints and show you things that you'll go, wow, I didn't know that. Wow, you got to be kidding me. My goodness. And it'll really inform you on some things that we need to know to live in the last days. We don't want to be ignorant. Knowledge is everything. So next 3 weeks. Now, God arranges these things for our benefit. I don't do it just to have church. He does it for our benefit. Some of the greatest blessings in my life has come out of meetings I went to. My life was changed out of meetings that I attended. Sometimes I almost missed, a lot of times, I almost missed the meeting that where God gave me a word or imparted something in me or opened a door that caused my life to be blessed or had a divine connection or something happened. Now, I almost missed those meetings. And I've had to go a long way sometimes to be in a meeting, spend a lot of money to be in meetings. I had to pay a price, but thank God for the price. It was paid. So hallelujah. Don't ever get tired of hearing the word of God or going to church. Don't you do it. Don't you get lazy on God in these last days. Don't you get lazy. Don't you get full of apathy and complacency. Don't you do it. I don't want you missing it. The Bible said there'll be many that will go back. There'll be many that will be seduced. Many who will listen to doctrines of devils. Many who will be deceived. And don't you do it. You say, well, I can't be deceived. How do you know you're deceived? You don't. That's how you're deceived. Praise the Lord. Well, look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we're living at a time like we've never seen before on the earth. Like a time we've never seen. There's been more difficult times, harder times for the church or people than what we're living in or what you and I are living in. Some people really have to pay a price. Our price is not that great here in America that we have to pay for the gospel. I mean, it's so easy now that it's too easy, really. But thank God I like easy. Don't you? And I take advantage of it. So praise the Lord. Listen, one thing that we see that's really in the church or in the body of Christ or whatever is fear. A lot of fear now in the world. A lot of fear in society. A lot of confusion. A lot of things going on. A lot of situations. Things coming against us. Problems. All kind of things like maybe you've never faced before. Difficulties coming against us physically, things coming against us emotionally, things coming against us spiritual, things hitting our brain like never has hit us before, under our emotions. Our emotions are going through all kind of turmoil, from fear, from anxiety, to almost worry, to confusion. We fight depression or heaviness. It's in the air. And it's coming through so much pumping of negative stuff on the airways in the news media and stuff. And you can't listen to that. Turn the news off. Don't listen to all that stuff. You can't believe it. Especially anything outside of some of the things on Fox. Fox is getting bad too, but you can't believe a lot of that stuff. It's a lie. Most of it's a lie. It's propaganda. It's political. A lot of this stuff will be over after the election. You'll see it wasn't as bad as they said it was. After the election, they're doing all this trying to win an election, but we're in the middle of this stuff. And so if you listen to that, it breeds fear. Fear comes by hearing. And hearing. Fear comes by hearing and hearing. And we're living under pressure, and, you know, and on the job. Things happening to you on your job and things happening. But there's an answer to every problem. There's an answer to, you know, you can change things. You don't have to accept things for the way they are. That's one of the things the church, I think we fail to see, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to take it. We don't have to believe it. We can change it. Even to a point, if your whole nation is under an attack, the church can change it. The church can. We can move things out of the way. We can change the atmosphere. We can change the course of a whole nation. We can change the course of people's life. You can change the course of your life. You can change what's going on your job. You can change what's going on in the home. You can change what's going on in your finances. You can. You can change it. But you have to know how. And you have to believe you can. You don't have to accept it. See, what we do, it comes at us and we just feel the pressure and feel the heaviness and feel all that, and we just sink under the weight of it. Unless we rise up and begin to say, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not taking it anymore. God, and I spoke of this last week and I think Wednesday, you know, through Brother Hagin and a lot of the last movement we was in was a word movement. and a charismatic movement. Before that was a gift of healing and a charismatic move. People feel the Holy Ghost everywhere because we need the Holy Ghost. And all these things were courses in the wall that were building the foundation for the church for the last day. God moved on the earth with a great healing revival and miracles, showing the world I'm still a healer. Then that waned, and he brought a charismatic movement where people everywhere were being filled with the Holy Ghost. Catholics and Baptists and Methodists, and God had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, filling his people, his church with the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost, when you get the Holy Ghost, you receive power. And you receive the ability to pray in tongues. And you get the gifts of the Spirit. Then came the Word movement. Then Brother Hagin and the teachers' ministry was revived. And it was teachers, and it's teaching the body of Christ. And everywhere was teachers and conventions and seminar and week-long meetings of teaching and teaching and teaching, primarily faith. All of these things were given and designed for the church for the last day to equip us for the work of the ministry. Well, if we have all this equipment, have all these tools, let us not lay it down. Don't forsake the tools, the things we've been given to live in this last day. And not only live in this last day, is to change what's going on. You think God didn't know these things were coming? You think God didn't see these things coming on our nation? And that's why he put the church here. You know, we're in charge. He gave us all authority and all power. He gave it to us, the church. So he expects the church to rise up and do something about it. He expects us to get in faith. He expects us to rise up in the Holy Ghost and begin to pray in tongues and hear from heaven. He expects us to move in the supernatural like he showed us. He expects us to do it. What's the church done in America? Well, I see most of the churches. You know, it amazes me. I get kind of aggravated, frustrated at the church and pastors, especially these young church pastors, you know. God forgive me. I'm not, you know, too hard on them, maybe. But I see them on TV, and they're all buffed up, you know, got their muscles and their little tight shirts on. And their little tight pants. And they go around preaching their little tight messages. And little motivational messages. And showing off. First thing that I ought to show you is nothing but flesh. We're of the Spirit. We shouldn't draw attention to our flesh. So you're buffed up. So you got tight pants on. Your little tennis shoes. We're tough. Then here comes the governor and said, all you tough little buffed up pastors can't have church. Okay. We're tough, though. We're tough. We got thousands of people. And God's really with us, and God's in us, and he's really blessed us. But, okay, we won't have church. Then we make all kinds of excuses because we can't. Well, we have to use wisdom. Wisdom? Sure, we got to use wisdom. But it's not wise not to have church. I mean, out in California, they said, they got large churches out there. They said, the government said, you can't sing. Okay. I don't know how many buffed up pastors there are in California and got a lot of buffed up little young people going to their churches. What are they going to do with thousands of you if you get out in the street and start marching and singing? And praising the Lord. Jehoshaphat lined up people and he started singing. And marching, and he changed the whole atmosphere over the whole country. And the enemy ran. But what we've done, we've just sat down. Well, she, well, you know, we need to wear a mask, and we need to do, we wear a mask all right. Yeah. Moses wore a mask. Oh, wow. But he had the glory of God on him. I'm not saying not to wear a mask. I'm not saying it. But I'm saying, what do you believe? Come on, now. Whose report will you believe? Yes. What are we doing? And all these churches, I know, I don't understand them. All these young guys, you know, and they've, oh, yeah, we got it, and great motivational, and talking about how great and all that. Well, get great and have church. Letting the world tell us. Just letting the world. It's amazing. We just cowed down. Cowed down. Making excuses for it. Why? We can't have church. Well, we need... It's, most of it's propaganda anyway. We believe what the devil says more than we believe what God says. Whose report are we going to believe? I'll tell you whose report you believe. The one you listen to the most. The one you listen to the most is what you believe. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 was people, is the chapter of heroes of faith. The heroes of faith throughout generations. And I'm sure they overcame a lot of things that you and I are not facing. We're just facing what they tell us is a pandemic, which if you study the word pandemic, all this going on is not a pandemic. It's not. But they say it is because we got to cause as much trouble as we can. Don't have school. Don't do this. Don't do all that because we got to cause as much problem, and we got to cripple the economy and make it as hard as it can to blame all of it on one man so we can get him thrown out of office so we can get reelected. That's what it all of it is. And the church, most of it. Now, I agree there is a virus, and I'm not making light of that. And, you know, we need to have precaution and all that. I don't want to get a cold. You know, people get a cold. I don't want them sneezing on me and all that. I want to keep social distances if you're blowing snot, you know. Come on now. But, yeah, I mean, that's been here a long time. How come all of a sudden? And they're not even going to have a school. They tell us, you know, but not have school, and said the kids are going to have to wear a mask. No, they're not either. Not my granddaughter, where she's not going to go to school and wear a mask all day. Forget that. She's not going to do it. She's not going to put up with it. Unless we start standing up as the church, they're all going to overwhelm us. They're going to defeat us as a nation. They're going to defeat us as a nation. See, it's a spiritual thing, not a natural thing. Yes. But whose report will you believe? Whoever you listen to the most. I'm not saying it's not real. But I'm saying God is still God. Yes. And these people changed the generation they're in, changed the situation. If I was writing the Bible, which I'm not, and if I was writing Hebrews chapter 11, which I didn't, and if I had any say-so in it when it was written, which I didn't, and nobody asked me about it at all, I would have put verse 6 in verse 1. Let's read verse 6. I think it sounds better in verse 1. But if I would change it, I'd put verse 6. But without faith, that's a good place to start. Without faith, it is impossible to please your God. Without faith, it is impossible to please your God. Now, if you want something to happen in your job, you better please God. If you want something to happen in your finances, you better please God. If you want something to happen in your life or you want things to change, you better please God. Well, how do you please Him? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is God. Well, there's no need coming to God if you don't believe there's God. He's a God.
Absolutely.
An atheist can't get saved. It's impossible for an atheist to get saved. You know why? Because he don't believe there's a God. How's he going to come to something he don't believe? Unless he changes what he believes, he'll never get saved. Because you're not going to come to God if you don't believe there's a God. He that comes to God must believe he is. And he is what? A rewarder of those who are seeking him. You have to believe he's a rewarder. You have to believe he's a rewarder of what you seek him for. Now faith. Now you go back to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith has substance. For by it the elders or men of old, or the heroes in this chapter, obtained a good report. A good report. They had a good report. What's that mean? They talked right. They said, yeah. Yeah, I'm healed. Yeah, it's working. They had a good testimony. Now, Romans chapter 10 tells us how we get faith. You don't get faith by praying. You don't get faith by fasting. You don't get faith by crying. You get faith by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So does fear. Now you either have doubt or fear or faith in any given day. And if you're going to face a situation, and if you're going to face the end times, and if you're going to face what's going on in this world to live above it, you better have a good report. You better have faith. If you don't, you're going to have doubt or you're going to have fear. You're going to have one of them. You can't be neutral on nothing. Now, ever what you believe is how you feel. You can believe, I tell you, you hear what the news media says? It's awful, it's awful, it's awful. And you go around after a while like this.
Yeah, exactly right.
It started affecting even the way you walk. How you feel. If you had a good report, if you knew, I'm changing this thing. I don't care what they say. I don't care what my boss man says. I don't care what the report is. I don't care what's come down the pike. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care. I'm changing this thing in my life. I can change it. You see, I was so in poverty, I had a spirit of poverty on me. That's a spirit of poverty is worse than being poor. Spirit of poverty, I mean, it's a crippling demon that you can't ever get out from under it, no matter what you do, how hard you work, whatever. You can't get out from under that poverty life. You can't work hard enough. You can't borrow enough. You can't. It's always. No matter what you do, it takes from you constantly. Now, some people just has it rough or hard or have to work their way up. No, I had a spirit of poverty, and I had to break it. God didn't break it. Well, Jesus did. He broke it at Calvary and made it available and gave me the tools. I had to find out how. I had to find out how. And so I got in the Word of God, and I began to devour the Word of God, and I began to listen to the Word of God. And I'll tell you, everything around me screamed no, no, no. But I kept looking at the Word and listening to the Word and hearing the Word and seeing the Word. And down on the inside, I got a yes. I got a yes. And that yes gave me a good report. And I went out in my life and I took the Word of God and I changed the course of my life. I did. You can. There's no need sitting out here this morning being heavy and down and discouraged. You don't understand, Pastor Ronnie. I'm just under it. Sure, I believe it. The whole world's under it. All America's under it. And we get buffed up in the natural and weak in the spirit. Our flesh is all buffed up. We looking good, but our spirit's weak. Because they come along and if you're real buffed up, if a little old wimp come in and said, I'm going to whip you this morning, buffed up pastor, why do you just slap you upside your little weak head? Well, what if a little demon comes in to the buffed up? That's not in the natural. And the little demon just punches you in your little weak spirit and says, you can't have church. Okay. See, it all depends on what you build. It's all depends on what you're showing off. We build a nice, natural-looking little punky world, tattooed up, all modern haircuts, looking real cool to all the young people. Devil don't care. He don't care. Then some goofy governor says, you can't praise the Lord. Well, I guess we can't praise the Lord. We might spit on somebody. We spit on somebody and somebody gets sick, I don't guess we can we? So we can't meet Sunday and praise the Lord. Although he sits in the heavens and laughs at everybody, but we can't praise the Lord because we might spit on somebody. And everybody gets sick and die. Because, you know what they're saying. Yeah, I sure do. Yeah. What are you going to do while you're not having church praising the Lord? Well, I guess we'll just go to the gym. Get buffed up. Might as well look good while we're getting defeated. Well, we might as well laugh, Wonder what happened if they told us, see, who's our first great guy here. Now, faith, we understand that these people changed their generation. Abel, he offered a sacrifice. Faith is an offering first. Amen. And he obtained a witness. Faith will witness of the goodness of God. Testifying of his gift, and through it, being dead still speaks. What Abel did in his faith still speaks today. He changed Enoch. He was taken because he was found with a good report. God took him because he had a good report. And time Enoch lived in was far worse than any time you and I are living in. I was reading over in the book of Genesis, and as far as I can find out, there's only two people God called righteous from Adam to Noah was Enoch and Noah. There really wasn't that many that he even spoke of. There was Seth, there's Abel, there's Seth, Enoch, Noah. Wasn't a whole lot. There's no report in the Bible anywhere you can find where Adam and Eve ever repented. There's nowhere it says. It says in the fourth chapter, 26th verse of Genesis, Seth had a son, Enos, and after that, men began to call on God. After he is born, men began to call on God. That was 250 years after Adam. Well, what were they doing before that? Adam walked with him face to face. What was going on, Adam, Eve? There's no sign, there's no evidence, no scripture anywhere that they even ever repented. It talked about Abel, talked about Seth, talked about Enoch, talked about Noah, righteous. But it didn't speak of any of the rest of them. What about our generation? What's going to speak of us? By faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. By faith, Noah. Now look over in Numbers, chapter 13. This is where they had the good report. We remember that, don't we? The man who went out when they came to the promised land. You know this story well, don't you? This is where they had a good report. Chapter 13 of Numbers, and Moses, God told Moses, you get one man from each tribe, the leader of each tribe, the head man, the leader, the smartest one, the bravest one, strongest one, the ones that's supposed to be faith. They, after all, they're the leaders. They're the leaders of each tribe. They looking good. They buffed up, you know, got their muscle shirt on, the tattoos in the right place. Fit in where all the everybody can come to church, say we got a cool pastor. Look at his new tattoo. Him cool. Look at that nice haircut he's got. That's modern, you know. He's our leader. All us young people going to go down there, they got smoke and rock music. We like that church. We're all going to pile in there, and we're going to have the biggest church in town until the governor says you can't have church. Okay, we're going to change our world. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, you sure are. If tattoos and muscles change it, we'd already had it changed.
There you go.
Not knocking muscles. Wait till I pull my shirt off. You see something. After all, you know. And they went out and spied out the land, came back, and they said, wait a minute. Hold everything, boys. Now, I'm telling you, it's just exactly the way God said it was. Now, God gave them the land, said, this land is yours. But, you know, God never told them what was in the land that they was going to have to rid the land of. He never told them. All the time back from our generation, say the 50s, my generation, I come through 50s, I didn't see much. I heard it and saw it on TV some, the healing revival. But I was in that and where just the shadow of the church was great and come through the faith movement and all those movement in the church, and we've been exposed to that and all the others before that. But God's been building his church a long time, and he's been putting things in us. And he said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I'm going to show this church, this generation you're living in, I'm going to show them that I'm a miracle-working, healing God. And they did miracles and tents and Elaine's, you know, part of that. That's why she has such strong anointing. Then the faith movement came, and it taught us how to have faith, and we can believe for houses and cars and prosperity, and showed us that in the Word of God, and they dissected the Word every way you could dissect faith. Thousands of books and sermons were written on it and taught us, but did we get it? Now here, and Jesus said, I'm doing all that because I'm going to have a church in the end time. that's going to be a glorious church. Well, here we are. Here we are. Some churches have, there's a little guy out west, got the largest church in America, got 30,000 people. Every Sunday talks about, just think right and you can have it. Is that right? Don't know any Bible doctrine. Just motivational. But we cow down to just, and they came back, and 10 of them said, now, and they had one bunch of grapes. You remember, I preached a long time ago, sermon, look at them grapes. I'll tell you, I still, when I read this, I think about it. I don't care. I mean, if they had one bunch of grapes, took two men to carry. Now, that's a big bunch of grapes. When they walked into camp with that bunch of grapes, I said, my goodness, what grapes. Look at them grapes. But they couldn't see the grapes for hearing about the giants. There is a pandemic in our land. Don't you understand? And it is a big one. I'm telling you, that rascal's big. And we don't have a chance. We don't have a chance. All the situations happening on my job and everything, what they're putting on me, sure, there's a giant there. God never denied it. And when they come back, they said, there is giants in the land. And nobody denied that. They said, yes, it's true. There's giants over there. But here's the next statement that beat them. The next statement that beat them is in verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. See, they knew their genealogy. They studied their history. And we were like grasshoppers in our sight. In our sight. Now, they already established the battle lines and already determined the outcome by that statement. We're like grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Now, they never asked one giant if we look like grasshoppers. They said, we look like grasshoppers compared to them in our sight. And so you know they must have thought we were. That's called an evil report. Not saying that there's a pandemic. Not saying that there's a great battle. Not saying that what's going on your job or what they've said. Not saying what's going on your finances is not real. People think, well, don't you say that. Don't confess that. You don't even understand what you're talking about to start with. Yes, I'm confessing. That's a big old giant. And this thing is real and it's big and it's mean and it's tough and it's all around me. Yes. Don't go away because you won't say it. It's still there. The next statement Joshua and Caleb had is what determined their victory. But we are able. Joshua and Caleb is saying, I don't care. We will change it. We can change it. We can change this thing, boys. We can change it if we'll just believe God. If we'll just believe what God said, we can change this. See, we have to get in the Word more than we get in the TV or other books or listen to what things. I don't care what they said about you. I don't care what the report is. You can change it. Faith changes. Now, he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder. The him that diligently seek him. You can change. You do. God told Joshua, you can make your way prosperous. You make it prosperous. You make it prosperous. Not me. I'll give you the tools. You build a house, son. And you'll live in whatever house you build by faith. Faith. We got to get back to believing God. We got to get back to believing God. Believing God, faith has a good report. Has a good testimony. Is a good report. What do you think is going to happen to us? Well, I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You think America will stand? I don't know. I don't know, will or not. One thing I will. What's going to happen in all the world? Gets on fire and buildings are falling. I'll stand out in the middle of it and praise God. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going down. I'm going up. What'll happen if I lose my job? What'll happen? I'm going to change God. God's still God. God's still God. Well, I don't know. Yeah, bless God. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with praise. Amen. Talk to God. Yes. Make Him bigger than any giant.
Yes.
You know what, grasshoppers? I was reading notes I'd put in my Bible back in the office, and I'd wrote things in here about grasshoppers. Grasshoppers have strong back legs to hop away. To hop away, they can leap 20 times their body length. They can't fight. The only defense they have is strong back legs to jump away and run. Why did these men say, why didn't they say, we're like little hummingbirds? We're like little ants. Or why'd they say grasshoppers? We got, the only defense we have against what's going on is we got strong back legs that we can hop away and run. We don't have any strong back legs. We got forward motion. Sure, the giants are big. They said, Joshua and Caleb said, it's right. You never seen such big giants, but you never seen such big grapes. He said, I'll tell you, there's beautiful houses over there. There's deep wells over there. He said, we're able. All they said is we are able. That's all. God did the rest. We are able. Praise the Lord. Grasshoppers eat leaves, but they can't eat grapes. Although the abundance that God's provided, grasshoppers never enjoy any of it. All they can eat is the leaves from around the fruit. They get close, but they never have the blessing. Grasshopper complex. And I don't know why I wrote this. They're green and brown and sand colored. They blend into their environment. They just blend into the environment and eat the leaves and never eat a grape. And if it gets a little hot, they hop away and go the other way. Grasshopper complex. I'm a little grasshopper, strong and stout. Hoppity hoppity, hippity hoppity, grasshopper. Can you imagine God in heaven sitting and listening? Who told you you were a grasshopper? Who told you? He came to Gideon and said, thou mighty man of valor. He said, me? Yeah, you. If you study what faith is, he calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now we see that working here, but working in the opposite with fear. Calleth those things as be not as though they were. These people weren't grasshoppers, but yet they called themselves grasshoppers, and therefore they became like grasshoppers. at Grasshopper Complex. Never advancing, never taking, never enjoying the fruit, eating the leaves, never the grapes. And said, we are not able. I'm telling you, we are not. Yes, we are able. Are they opposition? Yes. Are they trouble? Yes. Am I having financial problems? Yes. What did the doctor say? He says, going to die. You're kidding. No, he says, going to die. Graveyard dead. He said that. And I'm telling you today, that's what he said. But I'm also saying, I got a good report that I will live and not die and declare the glory of my God. See, what you say is, if you say what you see, it's fine. But just don't become what you see. Said the things that were made were not made from things which are seen. They said inside us is victory. Yes. Inside us, yes, we're giant slayers. Yes. Inside us, see, giants are the breakfast of champions. What you eat for breakfast. Amen. Amen. Joshua and Caleb said, let us at them, boys. I'm telling you, we can whip them. Both of them saw the same giant. 10-2. And that's about how it goes. All of them were leaders. All of them were the strongest, the stoutest, the greatest leaders of each tribe. But only two had a good testimony, a good report. And the report they brought back was, there's giants in the land, and they're big, and they're strong, and they have great armor, and they know how to fight. We watched them in their formations. We watched their battle array. We watched them. We know who they are. See, they are running recon. Recon is not to determine we're going to lose. Recon is to determine the best way to defeat them. We saw them, and we know exactly how they operate. Therefore, we got a battle plan. We are able. And say, yes, sir, I understand what you're saying, doctor. I understand that completely. I heard you. You don't need standing in the doctor's office and jumping up and say, I rebuke you. That's casting pearl before swine. They're going to think you're nuts. They don't understand. Say, well, thank you very much, doctor. Yeah. I appreciate your report. But I've got a different one. Thank you, sir. And walk out of there. It don't matter what they say. What they say doesn't matter. I'm not a grasshopper. I don't have strong back legs. I don't even have any back legs. Praise the Lord. We're just going forward. If it's up to me physically, forget it. We'd have to stay back on the other side of the river. But our strength comes from the Lord. Can you imagine how your God smiles when you see all of it and say, well, I understand what they say. And like Daniel did. And Daniel said, I respect your office. I respect what you say. But I respectfully deny your rules and your law. I can't obey that. I'm sorry. My God said this, and I'm going to have to do that. Can you imagine? We read this about the three Hebrew children, and oh, praise the Lord. But, you know, put yourself out there in that crowd. That governor said, no singing. Okay. The only three people in the whole tribe, whole country, said, no, we're singing. They didn't bow. Now, the rest of them the same church people or whatever. Everybody else just went along with it. I mean, I understand stuff for a while. But when it comes to a point that it is a trying to defeat us. Now, it's not just about what's going on here with all this pandemic. We're in the last day. And this is just one thing that's going to happen. There's many things that's going to happen. There's many things that's going to arise and many things that's going to take place. I understand all of that. So you and I are going to have to get in faith. We're going to have to get ourselves in faith and say, bless God, we're standing up. Are you standing up?
Yes.
Well, stand up then. Praise the Lord, we're not grasshoppers, are we? We're giant killers. Giant killers.
Yes.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, faith, if you read there in Hebrews 11, every time somebody said, well, bless God, we don't know how these people felt emotionally. The Bible, we can get a little hint of it with Noah. He moved with fear, godly fear. Faith is in your emotion. Faith is not standing out there. You don't always feel what you believe. Can you imagine? So I'm going out against that giant. Faith is, I'd be shaking and rattling, but I'd be running toward it. I said, God, you're going to have to come through here because I'm not going back down. I'm going to run right in on that thing. You understand? We think if we're in faith, we shouldn't have any doubt in our head. Oh, you have plenty of doubt in your head. If you're in faith, you shouldn't have any fear. Oh, you'll have fear. You say, well, if you got faith, you shouldn't be feeling. Oh, you'll feel everything. All that's on the outside. Faith of the heart. You believe it in your heart. Amen. And we obey God with fear and trembling sometimes. Hallelujah. And we take our stand and we believe. We believe. And it gives you a good testimony. It changes your whole atmosphere. If you know it's going to turn out good, you know, we change the way we feel. You know. It brings hope. Hope. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Our faith is. Faith is, he that cometh to God must believe. He must believe. He that cometh to God must believe that God is. Well, we know that you are. We know you're God. We've got that settled. We don't doubt that you're God. We don't doubt that you can do anything. We don't doubt that you're able. But we have to believe that you are a rewarder. You'll do what we believe that you'll do and nothing else. You'll believe what we can, you'll do what we can believe you'll do. And Father, we see the giants. We hear the noise. We hear the rattle of the armor. We hear all that and see all that. We hear the reports of the doctors, reports of the banker, reports of our job. We see everything that's happening. But yes, in the middle of it, we dare stand up and believe our God. And believe our God. We're the last day church. You brought us to this point not to bow under the pressure, but to change. Change the whole atmosphere. Change the way they're trying to take our nation. We can change it and put it back on course. Thank you, Lord, for a church that believes. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Faith has a good testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, one thing for faith, if it has a little fuzzy to you, just trust. Just say trust. You just trust God. He that trusts God has a good testimony. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, but I know it's going to turn out for my good. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do all this, but I know it's going to turn out for my good. it will turn out for my good. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, give the Lord a good hand and he will come.
Decision, actually. Leave on my Birkenstocks. Okay, just a couple of announcements. You know how it goes. Don't forget that Elaine is going to be here next Sunday. So you're going to want to come and hear her. This was kind of a quick impromptu little visit she's going to pay us. And we are always so happy and grateful when she comes. So she'll be here next Sunday at the regular service. Reverend Sherlock Bally will be here Friday, August the 7th at 7 o'clock. It's Friday, so we're kind of reverting back to the Friday service there for that weekend. And Sunday, August 9th at 11. And then Reverend Chris McMichaels, he will be here Sunday, August 16th at 11 o'clock. He's never spoken at this church before. He is a wonderful, wonderful guy, beautiful family, and he is affiliated with Dr. Barclay's church. Pastor has been up there a couple of times and spoken at his church. Just a good guy, and he has a good word. So he'll be here Sunday, August 16th. Amen? So that's what you can put on your calendars. Just come to church, and you'll get to hear all these people's pretty much what that sums that up to. Okay. Let's do our tithing confession. We haven't done that one in a bit, so let's do that one. Hey, look, you're so ready. There we go. Are y'all ready? Okay, here we go. As we bring in today our tithes and offerings, which is over and above our tithe, we are believing for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, resurrected stocks and bonds, explosive growth in mutual funds, benefits and settlements, sales and commissions, estates and inheritances, gifts and surprises, interest and incomes, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, finding money, money finding me, debts paid off, debts canceled, royalties received, old loans paid back, multiplications in existing businesses and new businesses starting, scholarships and grants, all the good deals come to my house. My whole household will be saved. I am healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I have favor with God and man. We will finance God's harvest. We will finance the Mysteries of Glory Tabernacle. We will support our families and have more than enough left over to bless others. Praise the Lord. That's a lot on that list, but you know what?